We're coming in hot with inspiring guests, witty banter, and colorful commentary for today's veterans and military community. This is the Tango Alpha Lima Podcast.
They call me crazy because I'm facing all my giants. They try to scare me into thinking I can't fight it. They tell me I should never even think of trying. But that's just me, I'm gonna live out in defiance.
All right, Alphas, we love seeing you here on the Tango Alpha Lima Experience. Actually, we can't see you, but you can see us. And don't look at me, look over there. That's a much better option for your irises. Ooh. Ashley Guterman.
Thank you. I cut my hair today. So, you know, at least there's that.
I need to do that.
I'll teach you how to do it yourself.
The last time I got my hair cut, I went down to LA Air Force Base. And I said, I need a military cut. Not an Air Force cut, and they did it. They took me down to the skin like you, and then I took a picture of it and posted it. And I was standing in front of the LA Air Force Base exchange sign, and I posted it. And I was like, they actually will do a military cut at the LA Air Force Base. And my fellow Post 43 member David Austin said, yeah, they're highly skilled at anything that involves a chair.
Oh, burn. You gotta burn on the skin.
I feel like he was waiting for that his whole life to say that.
Oh my God.
But I am gonna need to go back sometime in the next 5 days because I'm gonna get freshened up for the national holiday.
Freshen
you know
it.
What it is.
Mm-hmm. It is the Jeff- happy birthday. Daily.
She got it right. And you need to take your cues from Ashley Guttermuth. It's birth daily. It's not birthday.
Right.
It's not birthday. But I think and I need no gifts, but we do have a story about the greatest gift that our society can give certain people. Do we not? Ashley,
yes, we do. Check this out. Unhoused veterans will get new apartments in West LA through the VA. Hey, check this out. Unhoused veterans will get new apartments in West LA, though the VA is years behind its promise. This is from LA List. New apartments for unhoused veterans are beginning to open up in West LA at a sprawling campus owned by the Federal Department of Veterans Affairs. Local and federal leaders, including L.A. Mayor Karen Bass and V.A. Secretary Dennis McDonough. It just, I think he needs to change it to Guttermuth, attended a ribbon cutting for 120 new units on Tuesday. About 4,000 veterans are unhoused in L.A. County. VA officials are running about 4 years behind on promises to create 1,200 homes for veterans at the campus. Those promises were made in 2015 to settle an ACLU lawsuit alleging the VA was illegally renting the land for private purposes like TV set storage, a hotel laundry facility, and a parking service. The VA handles healthcare across the U.S. for veterans, as well as efforts to end veteran homelessness. It is now led by McDonough, who was a former chief of staff for President Barack Obama. At Tuesday's event, LA List asked McDonough about the construction delays. He responded that he's completely unsatisfied with the progress. Until we fully house every veteran, we will be unsatisfied. We will keep working this. The VA says the new units are fully furnished, pet friendly, and move-in ready. They include amenities such as outdoor community areas, indoor community spaces, central laundry facilities, on-site management offices, a leasing office, and a caseworker's office. This is how you can apply. VA officials say veterans should first call the department's LA temporary housing hotline at 310-268-3350. And for the 120 new units, veterans have to be eligible for a program known as HUD-VASH, V-A-S-H, and be registered in the Los Angeles Coordinated Entry System, a database that connects unhoused people with housing. Hitting one of her common themes since declaring a state of emergency on homelessness on her first day in office, Bass said it's crucial to scale up efforts to house veterans. One of the most important things for us to do is to address the problem at the level of scale in which the problem is, she said in her speech at the ribbon cutting. So the massive West LA campus was gifted to the VA in the 1800s to house former soldiers and currently houses a large medical center for veterans. But controversy has surrounded the 400-acre campus being used for non-veteran purposes. In 2013, a judge found the VA was improperly renting part of the land to a Marriott hotel laundry service. And in 2018, a VA employee pleaded guilty to taking bribes from a private parking lot company that was leasing land at the campus. For more on the campus' recent history with homelessness, you can check out KCRW's recent podcast, City of Tents, Veterans Row. A new lawsuit was filed last year by veterans and the public interest firm Public Counsel, seeking to force the VA to stick to its promised timeframes for the 1,200 housing units. The handful of units opening today are far fewer than the VA has promised, and they're years late to come online, said Mark Rosenbaum, who is also representing veterans in the new suit in a statement. McDonough declined to comment on the case on Tuesday. What? What is happening?
Well, I will say when I chose this story, I thought, yes, I'm from Los Angeles. And it's true. I'm not from Los Angeles. I'm of the Michigan Dailies on TDY to Los Angeles for a very long time. This problem is nationwide. But you see it in all of its gore here in Los Angeles. This county has the most veterans of any county in the country. As you saw here, we have 4,000 that they've counted. I firmly believe that number is bigger. When I drive around this city and I see the tent cities that are propped up, I look at them and I know. I don't guess, I don't worry about, I know for a fact that there are warriors who deployed to defend this country, and then they came home only to not be able to have a home. Now we've met Secretary McDonough a couple of times, and I love to hear him use the word unsatisfied, because that is precisely the only word that anybody that works in this space should have for this scenario, is unsatisfied. Because we should be unsatisfied up to and including the day that this problem has the relief of solvency. Only when that problem is really tackled head on can we be satisfied, and not a second earlier. Sorry, I went on a little rant there. It's like the old days.
This place has been around since the 1800s specifically for this purpose. And then they were like, you know what, let's run it out to a Marriott and let's take turn into a private parking lot. What is the deal? What is the backstory there? But I know we don't know the answers to that. Why do you think there's so many homeless veterans in that county? Because there's not, you know, like I would imagine it to be in other places where there's like, maybe, do you think people move there afterwards or what?
Well, you're talking about two things here. The backstory of the campus is the focus of the lawsuit, is that since the 1800s that the government has decided that they could use, and this was gifted from a family to the veterans of Los Angeles, and that gift has been mishandled, misused, and quite frankly, according to the lawsuit, abused to create revenue. So that's one thing. I don't know all of the deep history of it, so I only know that surface level and what the lawsuit is about. Why we have so many homeless or unhoused, I get caught up in these word specific things where you can get in trouble for saying the wrong thing. When I say homeless, I mean unhoused. And when I say unhoused, I mean homeless. It's, to me, it's the same thing. We have because we just have so many veterans, right? So we're going to, if you take a small percentage of that, it's going to be a big number. But also, I just read an interesting article that LA is one of the cities where to live a lifestyle of a $100,000 income, you have to make $250,000 in Los Angeles to live an average $100,000 income. So people come here, they have big dreams, and it's hard. I mean, I came here a long time ago and I told my ex-girlfriend, don't worry, we'll drive out there in a U-Haul. 6 months, I'll be on a TV show. We'll be all good. I'm still waiting for that TV show, my friends. So it's tough out here. It's expensive out here. Moving, and I've had people say, well, why don't they just move back? Or as you've heard in Texas, go back to where you came from, right? It's expensive to move, as you know. That truck, to have people pack you and then go and you pay deposit somewhere else and you do all of that work. It's really expensive to escape. So people get trapped here. They get trapped here. They don't have any money. They don't have enough money. You can't live on minimum wage, not even California's enhanced minimum wage. And so you just get stuck and you live in these tents and they're everywhere. And it's not just the veterans either. It's everywhere and it's a lot of people and it's really sad. But, you know, every person has to pick who they advocate for. And because I'm really active in the American Legion, I'm advocating for unhoused warriors. And that is my focus and that is why I am unsatisfied, because it is unacceptable that these people have to live like that. Now, on a good note, we're not seeing pictures here, but if you go to the link and see the pictures, these are lovely places to live. If they're going to try to get revenue, I've always thought that they should have market-based units that people that want to live in a village like that could pay market and help subsidize the rest of it. But I don't think that's going to happen. But there, I don't know if I answered your question. I just went on another rant.
I appreciate your rants, Tim.
Hopefully what's that?
I appreciate your rants, and hopefully it all gets fixed soon.
All right, and now we're going to move on to other things, less ranty Jeff Daly. Today we're going to be joined by Marine Corps veteran Rob Schroeder, the founder of Steerbridge, a technology company that elevates the stature of veterans in the private sector by integrating their experience into federal projects. This sounds fascinating. And we're going to be back with Rob right after the break.
Selfless service.
The American Legion celebrates all who contribute to something larger than themselves
and inspires others to serve and strengthen America. We are veterans strengthening America. We are the American Legion.
All right, Alphas, we are back with a Marine, United States Marine Harrier pilot, founder of Steerbridge, doer of many, many things, and we're going to get into some of that. How are you doing today, Rob?
Well, Jay, it's a pleasure to be here this afternoon, and I want to thank you, Ashley, and the Legion for not just doing this podcast today, but really for the entire series, the program, and really the personal and professional effort to assist veterans no matter what part of the journey they are on, whether they're currently active duty or now in veteran status. So greatly appreciate the efforts by y'all and what you're doing.
All right, Holly, I'm going to need a recording of that to send to my mother, please. And to anybody who I say I host a podcast, they just assume we sit around and talk about nothing and five of our friends listen. Okay. Rob, I see that you were a Harrier pilot. Are those still in service?
There's a few of them, Jay, but not many. And in fact, last year I went to my former squadron was being redesignated. So it shut down as a Harrier VMA Marine Attack Squadron, and it was redesignated a Marine Fighter Attack Squadron with F-35s. So we are slowly but surely on the sunset for the Harrier flying here in this country.
So there's no more vertically launching fixed wings out there?
Actually, the Marine Corps version of the F-35B does also have that vertical capability. So we're still able to deploy on board amphibious shipping as we did with the Harrier. So the Harrier did a great job in service and also proving the vertical takeoff and landing capability.
All right. And that was, that does not count as your first question. You haven't even started yet because Ashley gets to ask the first question.
Well, so here's what I'm curious about. Tell me what your mission is and why you do it.
So the mission personally or professionally?
Oh, let's do them all.
Okay.
Let's do them all.
So the mission professionally, look, we try to deliver best-in-class solutions for our federal and state government clients. And so those customers, we're trying to bring into them a solution that we feel like is not unique, but best in class. And we do that, and we talk about this a lot more, but we do that by leveraging a lot of veteran and military spouse talent and pairing that with cutting edge technology. So we put those two, the people and the technology together to deliver a solution that we truly feel is game changing for the government customer that we serve. And then we also couple that with serving in primarily DOD and VA. And so there's that mission component of the work that we're trying to help them do better, either with our national security or by serving veterans. Personally, what I like to, what I really love doing is this passion around veterans issues and veterans opportunities. And like I say, I don't think they're necessarily, I like to look at it as opportunities and just giving veterans that shot, because I was given a shot. And I feel it's my job, my mission to turn around and do the same for all the goodness that was done for me.
Yeah, well, that I think that makes sense. That's one of my like cornerstones of give people a leg up when they really need it. They will pay you back tenfold, you know, and not just the person that gave them the leg up, but the everyone around them.
Yeah. So Ashley, I'll have a question for you. Ooh. Is that paying it back or paying it forward?
Oh, well, both. Depends on how in debt you are.
Nice.
But it feels better, doesn't it? Like when I go, I'll go around and give to chambers of commerce, I'll give keynote speeches and to local leaders and things. And I'll talk about issues affecting military families. And I always end on a story where someone was given that,
yep.
That break when they needed it, when a chief could have stomped on him and told him, nope, you're not going to go and do that. You're going to go stay with us. Instead, they gave him a break. And then that person stayed in the military and wanted to go and become a chief so that they could do the same thing for other people. And I feel like that just spreads like a little creepy spider web.
Absolutely. And, you know, in my case, I was, you mentioned the Chambers of Commerce. That's where I worked for 8 years before here. And I was introduced to the CEO by another Marine. And that's how that got rolling. And I would have never been in that job, that role, without somebody just, you know, sticking their neck out and making a recommendation and making the introduction.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's great.
I'm curious. So Steerbridge is the name of the company. As you can, if you're not watching, you can't see it behind him. So how do people engage with Steerbridge so that they can be given that shot?
Sure. So great question, Jay. We use LinkedIn as our primary vehicle of getting out. We do a lot of commenting, a lot of support in the veteran community and the military spouse communities. We have so that's the best way to kind of engage us, or our website, or just reaching out to me directly. To see the different opportunities that we have currently available. But also, I encourage people to always reach out to us because if we're a good fit for you culturally, mission-wise, work-wise, reach out to us now, get on our radar so that as different opportunities do become available, because in the federal contracting space, you know, we're constantly adding new and different contracts for the company to do. We want to engage and work with as many folks as we can as we develop a stable and a roster of talent. Secondarily, if you just need some help and want to talk through transition, I'm always up and able to do that for anybody that's reaching out. I will say, though, for veterans that are reaching out, it's hard work. And so there's no gift out here. It's all a question of putting in the work for the transition. And if you want to do that, we're more than happy to help out and assist.
All right. So I'll just do a quick follow-up. What are your areas, what are the wheelhouse areas of the types of people you are looking for, and what kind of opportunities are you connecting them with?
Sure. So I like to say we're looking for the best athletes out there. And that's part of that veteran experience, because we all know we tend to fall in the bucket of, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, as we move around in our careers. But that's fine. It's looking for those individuals that are truly rock stars. And so, you know, I'll go to the military spouses. What I love about hiring military spouses is they've been undervalued for the majority of their career as they move around the country. And so we give them a shot and they're able to just, it is unbelievable to watch what they do. But we primarily, we're in management consulting and technology solutions. So if you have a tech background, program management background, we also do some construction management work with helping the VA through managing their projects. So in those buckets, those are primarily where we are, where we look for talent. And the military, the technology piece is oftentimes a tough one, because the military doesn't, you know, not a lot of software engineers are grown in the military. But if you work around it, then you could possibly come in and be a scrum master, manage a team, not necessarily have to be the actual technical, engineer.
Well, I have to wonder, when did Ashley Gudermuth get to you? that military spouse section was, it sounded in a deeper voice, but it sounded like her words.
I've got my fingers in all of the areas, Jeff. I'm spreading throughout the world. It's true, though. To me, I think of military spouses a lot of times. We are just kicked puppies. You know, we've been kicked over and over and over again. Then you give us a chance, and we're like, oh my God, look what I can do. I'm a Belgian Malinois. Watch me scale this 9-foot wall.
Actually, we've got one. What I love is watching the military spouses at Steerbridge, watching them succeed. And for some of them, it's been a complete role reversal, because now they're the breadwinner,
right,
in the family. And so they're now making more than their spouse, which is always fun. But we're just paying a market rate, but they've always been undervalued and paid under market value, because everybody's assumed, well, you're leaving in 2 years. And so it's great watching that. And look, we get it back tenfold.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. What kind of, because your mission sounds to me like a slam dunk, right? Do you ever get any pushback?
No, we don't get pushback. It's just always, for us, it's always a question. Look, we're a small business working in the federal government space. Oh, yeah. So burning through to the customer in a way that, they can understand the credibility of the mission, and they buy into really the solution, because we're not about, hey, getting a handout because we're a small business. We're about just giving us an opportunity. It's kind of like the mill spouse. Just give me an opportunity to go in and prove that we can deliver for you in an impactful way, in a way that you haven't been able to realize in the past.
Yeah. Well, how did you get your name? So what does Steerbridge mean, if you were to break it down?
So Steerbridge, we made it up years ago. My sister's much more left brain than me. And it was, a nautical, mixing a nautical and aviation themes of steering the ship and up at the bridge in stormy waters. So that's how we came up with it, and threw an aviation logo on top of it, and off we go. Perfect. But I wanted something that was different and unique for us.
All right. So I'm going to throw a little curveball at you. We're going to go from Steerbridge today. We're going to go back to, I won't say the years, but we're going to go back to your high school days. And you were an elite student, obviously, because you got into Annapolis. And part of your journey as a student was you were a Boy Stater. Now, my question for you is, it's two part. How was that experience then? And how has that experience followed you to today?
So I will tell you that obviously we're on an American Legion podcast, so I can't, I can be accused of being biased here, but I'll tell you, that is one of the most impactful programs I've seen for high schoolers. And I did several of them, but that one, so I did it 2 years in a row. I did it my summer before my senior year. And it was just a great experience to learn about government. They tried to make us pass a bill, and we saw how hard it was to pass. I even remember to this day the bill we tried to pass, and it was so incredibly hard. So we got an appreciation for that process, and that ignited, you know, fast forward, I became a intern for Senator Trent Lott. I then became a congressional fellow years later. So that experience kind of really stuck with me my entire career. And an appreciation for what goes on Capitol Hill. Fast forward, my summer before I left to go to the academy, I went as a counselor. And man, that was probably the single biggest leadership opportunity I had up until the academy. And what that did, you know, obviously I was there as a volunteer. You think I'm there working, but really I was learning how to lead young men in a way that was impactful. And so, I mean, I absolutely loved it. Some might have said I loved it a little too much, but it was, I really did. I really appreciate it. If you go on my LinkedIn profile, you got to scroll down a little bit. I found my pic, you know, as parents clean out their houses, they sent me my picture in the local paper of me heading off to Boise State.
Well,
I hugely appreciate it.
I love hearing all the Boise State stories. I was fortunate enough for a couple of years to be on the staff for Boise Nation and served there with super producer Holly down there. She was there with me. And those kids, I mean, I can just imagine, you know, seeing all that you've done in your career, but those kids, they do so much. I mean, kids like, oh yeah, I started a foundation and I'm like, you're in high school.
Yeah.
most kids in public school that I went to, they didn't know how to spell foundation. Yeah, we
oh
we,
nice.
Yeah. Ashley, if you're not watching, which you should be, that's my favorite way to enjoy the podcast on YouTube. She just showed us the picture that Rob referenced earlier.
And that's where Ashley's supposed to say, I haven't aged a day.
Not even a day. I'm still trying to figure out which one.
Well, she improved your sentence because she said not even a day.
Nice. Very nice.
You haven't aged a day, but you've aged some years. That would have.
What a little cutie. Oh, my goodness. You look like you weighed about 10 pounds wet.
Yeah. Well, I was I was a late bloomer in that. I grew a lot when I went to the academy.
Oh, wow.
A lot. So that was, I was a little guy.
I was a little guy as well when I joined it. I had to buy all new uniforms 1 year in.
Yes.
I did not go to the academy though. I went, there was a store called the Academy in Michigan. I went to that, but I did not go to the
academy. Very nice.
All right. So your Boise State and your Boise State experience. And I love pointing out the programs on, and we're not required to, like, no one said you need to talk about the American Legion programs, although it's probably because we do, so they don't have to tell us. But I love hearing Boise State success stories, and I love hearing that you work with someone that you met at Boise State, right?
Yep, absolutely. A guy that I met, so we were both delegates and then counselors together. And, you know, fast forward a couple hundred years, we're now working together. He's the CEO of a company that does recruiting, and we bought their software and we use their service every month. And so it's that relationship. And it's not like we've talked to each other every day since Boise State, But we immediately connected and started talking about our Boy State experience and that common background. And look, I know I can trust him. He's great. And we thoroughly enjoyed working together. And that's a, you know, it's just one example, I'm sure, of millions after the number of boys and girls y'all put through that program. And like I say, I just applaud y'all, the Legion, for doing that. And I can claim innocence because I put that on my LinkedIn thing before this podcast ever came up.
So you're not being a homer. You're it's genuine. I love it. I love it a lot. All right. What you got for him there, Ashley?
I think that this is all great. And it feels like you don't, when I checked out your website, you don't just do like one thing. You bring in all types of veterans and military spouses to work within all of these different sectors, which I think is super cool. Where do you want to go with it? Do you want to take over the world?
Well, my business partner, the way he explains it to prospective hires is that we're not looking to take over the world at all. Our plan is to take over the universe. So
there we go. Bam.
So
reel this in.
But that requires that, then it does actually narrow the focus of the people that want to come here. Because you don't come here because you're looking for a cush job. You're looking to, put the brakes on. You're looking to coast or something like that. You come here and get ready to strap it on because we are going. And so that immediately, you know, that segments the population a little bit of who we want to attract. Here at Steerbridge, we want people that are looking to make a difference. They're mission focused, they're mission driven, and they are super aggressive. And so that's the way I've, you know, Jay, that's what attracted me to the Marine Corps, and I haven't changed a day in my life. And so that's the way we are here. That's the way we operate here. I tell a lot of new hires, Ashley, that when I was a kid, I had a lawn mowing business. And the day I figured out how I could mow 20 yards in a single day, I mean, I was on fire. And nice. So it's that always trying to figure out puzzle. Bigger, better, faster.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all it is. Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
I do have a note. I'm looking at your Steerbridge logo there. Something in me says an EGA needs to be right in the middle, in that white space of the circle. Yeah.
So Jay, I would do that, but I would get in huge trouble. The Marine Corps would come.
Oh, they would come. Yes. Yeah, but you can tweak it enough.
Yeah.
Just tell them it's the eagle of the sea or whatever.
Yeah.
That was.
Well played. Yeah.
I think you could get away with it. But or yeah, just so make the Marine Corps one of your partners and then they won't.
Yes, that's true. Well, I'm on the board for the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation. Quick plug. Great organization. We do a lot for children of Marines and Navy Corpsmen. But there, if you look at our EGA there, you'll see we made a little bit of a difference. By getting that same theme across.
I also see that you're on the advisory board for USAA, which is, we have convention coming up later this summer, and they are, I forgot the level of sponsor we call them. It's some fancy word. yeah, they're like a super awesome sponsor. So I love them. And so thank you for doing all that work, because I use them every day of my existence. I have auto insurance, credit card, checking account.
Oh yeah, another great organization. I've completed that tour, so I am I'm USAA complete now.
So you're an alumni of USAA.
Yes.
There you go. All right. I think we've given people a lot of stuff to think about. I think we can send them confidently in the right direction because they will be taken care of by a Marine. Yeah, you heard me, Ashley. Marine.
Hoorah.
Semper Fidelis. And thank you for doing all of this transition work. We talk a lot about that and what a challenge it is. Before I let you go, though, I kind of want to hear, do you have a transition story? How did that go for you, leaving the military and getting back into the civilian world?
Sure. So Yeah, I think everybody has their story. So I've now been doing a lot of reflecting on my own because this summer I hit my 10-year mark. So I've been out of the Marine Corps. This summer will be 10 years. And so I've seen, I've got the advantage now of some distance from it. But look, my transition was, I felt like that was the second greatest inflection point in my life. So I attacked it as though it was. And so very aggressive, networking with every and connecting with every single person that I could, that was willing, that had an open door. And that's the big thing that veterans, that we all have that advantage. There is not one person out there today, and this is a blessing for us in our country, that would turn me down. And they won't turn a veteran down. If you just reach out, tell them who you are, what you're trying to do, that doesn't mean you're getting a job from that person, but everyone will have a conversation with you, and every conversation helps. My story, I didn't have a clue what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce did, nor was I looking to get a job at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. But I went in for a discussion with someone. He recommended me the CEO, and boom, I was hired within 2 weeks. Wow. And so I'm like, look, but that also colors my view of the world. The CEO, I said, listen, I don't know anything about international economics and trade policy. And he said, don't worry about any of that. We'll teach you that. We just need some leadership to come in here and help us lead and manage the organization. And so that's, so I was given an opportunity to go in and prove myself. And so, but look, I try to help veterans, not just in the transition. There are a lot of great resources out there, like Hiring Our Heroes, but I also like to help you when you get the job, because a lot of times we neglect that, and that's day one, and you've got to be successful. And so I also try to help veterans when they reach day one, so that they, because again, I got a lot of help as well. And so that you can be successful, the end of the journey is not getting a job. The end of the journey is having a successful second career, and sometimes third and fourth, but being successful in the private sector. And here at Steerbridge, we feel like we provide that environment for people to grow and achieve both professional and personal goals that they've set for themselves, whether that's investing in their growth with schools or certifications, or just giving them an opportunity to grow professionally. And we do that in a way that I think is pretty impactful. It's also, it's aggressive. Like I say, I've said that a couple times, but that's the type of organization. Some say it's run like a ready room. But we look to get the job done and do it well.
I think we might need a ready room to help with that transition and to get people employed, and because that purpose helps with so many things that are big problems, right? The homeless situation, obviously the suicide situation, having purpose and a way to take care of yourself.
Yep.
Alleviates a lot of that stuff.
Well, Jay, if I could, that's one thing that we actually also focus on. Some of our work's at the VA, a good chunk of it. And what we really, we're customers of the VA as well. And so, and this is our community. And so it's that passion to deliver, because we feel like if we can help the VA be better and serve their customers better, that we can actually alleviate some of that stress that is within the veteran community, that better service capability, better technology delivery, a lot of just doing stuff a lot better would help alleviate some of that as well. So that's also part of what drives us here as well.
That's awesome. It's good to have a why. All right. Ashley, you want to say bye, or do you want to see you later? Do you never say goodbye?
Oh, no, I say goodbye. Okay. But I do plan on seeing Rob again. And I think it's awesome, everything that you're doing. And I wish you all the continued success.
Great. Well, I appreciate it. And again, thank y'all for what y'all are doing. And thank y'all for getting the word out. And thank y'all for really putting the time, blood, sweat, and tears into this thing. So great appreciation for y'all. And please don't be a stranger. And I'm always happy to chat with y'all wherever I can be helpful.
All right, I'm probably going to link up with you on LinkedIn, see how that worked. And I'm not going to say goodbye. I'm only going to say Simplify, my friend. There you go.
Right. Thank y'all.
Thanks so much. And for you alphas, don't go anywhere, because we're going to be right back after, you know what I'm going to say,
the break.
The American Legion is raising awareness about PTSD and veteran suicide by offering hope, camaraderie, and support.
Be the one to help end veteran suicide.
The goal of the American Legion's Be the One campaign is to destigmatize asking for mental health support.
Be the one to ask a veteran in your life how they're doing.
Be the one who saves one veteran.
Go to betheone.org and help the American Legion end veteran suicide.
Will you be the one?
All right, Alphas, welcome back. That was fascinating and way too smart for this Marine. I'm glad that that Marine is taking care of that information so that I don't have to. Would you agree?
I agree. I think it's always great when, you know, just veterans helping veterans, help military families, help veterans. Let's all come together and make the world a better place. I'm glad that Rob's doing it.
Wow, Rob. You sound like a Disney prince with Ashley's words. Okay, let's get into it. We spent a long time today, so I only have two rapid fires today, but that does not diminish my excitement, my love, and my passion for pew, 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 pew. Rapid fire. All right, this is from, you know where it's from. It's from Legion Town. Yeah. American Legion NSO saves homeless, honorably discharged Army disabled veteran's life. That was a tongue twister of a title. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Rudolph. This is first person from this writer. My name is Rudolph R. Robinson, past commander of George S. Patton Jr. Tank Corps, Post 19, Washington, D.C. I've been a member for over 30 years. I am writing to inform you of an amazing story. My son, Timothy Robbins, is also an American Legion member. He entered the U.S. Army on October 16, 1984. After passing the MEPS, he shipped out to basic training that same day at Fort Benning, Georgia. During training, he injured his feet because the boots that were issued were too tight, causing his feet to blister, bleed, and swell. He had to go on sick calls several times for problems with his feet. During training, he was assaulted, beaten up because he couldn't keep up with the other soldiers because of his feet. They tried to make him quit, but they didn't. They would throw a blanket over his head and beat him at night while calling him names. The Army's doctor examined his feet, but never x-rayed them and stated that they were going to release him because of problems with his feet. They stated if he continued training, it would only worsen his condition. On February 2nd, 1985, he was discharged. His DD-214 showed the reason for the discharge was failure to meet induction standards. It was stated that Entry Physical Standards Board determined that my son had pre-existing foot condition prior to entering the Army. Art pointed out that no surgery could be performed on a minor without parents' consent. The Supreme Court of the state of Maryland required parental consent be given prior to any minor having surgery. There are exceptions, but my son was not one of them. Arthur C. Timmons is godsent. He noted two bogus documents that were placed into my son's military medical records without his knowledge, causing him to be denied VA benefits for 40 years. Thank God for Art C. Timmons, Senior Veterans Disability Claims Specialist for the American Legion. Art has given my son hope. He no longer talks about suicide. He wants to live and no longer be homeless. He is due VA benefits from February 2nd, 1985 to the present. Thank you so much, Art, for all you have done. The Robinson family loves you. My brother, you have saved our son. Movie of the week.
Wow.
I mean, I get I'm in Hollywood, but this screams movie of the week. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty intense. And also, what a horrible time that he had in basic training. Why do we do this to each other?
I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's like Full Metal Jacket. you know, that the scene in the beginning.
Yeah,
with that.
With the they call it the soap party.
Soap party. Yeah.
That's brutal, and I don't think that stuff goes on much anymore. At least I hope not. Well, certainly not in the Army, because now they have little cards they can when they're stressed out, they're too stressed out, they can give them to their drill sergeants, I guess.
Based on what people tell me, there's a lot of like sex.
A lot of what?
Like the recruits, they sneak off to like the laundry bins and stuff. So
yeah, I hadn't heard that. But
I mean, I had a kid that went through it, and I have other people that talk about it. So
all right, let's move on before we get before we lose our PG-13 status. We're gonna move on to rapid fire number pew pew two. Oh, this one kind of. I have so many things to say. All right. Army Guard Sniper Team wins international sniper competition. It's official. Soldiers from the U.S. Army National Guard are the best snipers in the world. Four National Guard sniper teams emerged as best contenders in the 2023 International Sniper Competition and all finished in the top 10, with Team 7 placing first. 35 three-person sniper teams from around the world participated in the competition at Fort Benning, April 8 through 13. The International Sniper Competition is combat-focused, testing teams' ability to communicate and make decisions under stress and fatigue. Teams compete in numerous day and night courses of fire that challenge them physically and mentally. Guard, Sniper Champions of the World.
Hey.
I will say this.
Gotta give it to them.
I'm gonna give a little spoiler alert. The main person in the team that won was an Army Ranger, active duty before, and he's been a sniper for 10 years, but only in the Guard for 3. I'm just putting that out there because I found it hard to believe that part time you could get that elite level of skill.
Jeff Daly in the Michigan Dailies, you know, yeah, that you can be in the Guard and not be part-time.
You can be, but I don't think as a sniper, it's more administrative.
My husband's in the reserves.
Yeah. It's not the Guard, but yeah.
He's not the, okay, but they're very late. The Guard has AGRs, Active Guard Reserve too.
Yes.
They also have, there's different, you know, their acronyms, Air Reserve Technicians, where you wear the uniform every day, but you're not paid as an active duty person and you don't get the same benefits, but you do all the same stuff, and it's crazy. But yeah, you could totally, it's not just administrative. There's all kinds of, like EOD part timers.
All right, but I'm gonna go on a limb and say that these are not full-time snipers in the reserve.
Maybe.
I'm just going to go on a limb. And I also wonder if this competition, and they showed other countries, so it is truly international. But I'm wondering, does the SEAL team send their best sniper team to this competition? Do the Marine Corps Raiders, do the Army Delta, wait, that doesn't exist, Special Forces in the Army. Are they sending their best, or are they busy?
Oh, or are they busy?
That's all I'm asking.
Hey, next year you enter.
Oh no, I'd be terrible at that.
Me too. I don't even know which eye to close.
You don't know which eye to close. All right. We have no rapid fire number 3. Do you have a shout out?
My shout out is always to you. Happy birthday.
What's that?
Oh. Happy birthday.
Happy what?
Happy birth daily.
There you go. All right. I do have a shout out. And I don't know. Holly will remember Arizona National Convention. It was hot, hot, hot. And it was super hot. And there was a few people from the Pat Tillman post that we met, and they invited us to go hang out at their post and have free air conditioning and a cool beverage during the evening. And one of those, actually two of those, became my friend Jacqueline and her husband Aaron Colfan. And Jacqueline, they visited here in LA a little while ago, and we had a lot of fun. But she's not been in the Legion very long, but she's been her post finance officer. And now she just finished Arizona Legion College. I'm loving the Legion colleges that are popping up all across the country. I know of some people that are starting them now, starting to build the curriculum, and I participate in California's Legion College, teach a few classes, and I think it's really important for the future of the organization to find people who are energized and to empower them with best practices, policies, and just general information about the American Legion so that they can find and inspire other people's why for being in the organization. And we can start seeding this place with super awesome Legionnaires. Actually, I might make a t-shirt called that says super awesome Legionnaires.
Super awesome.
Super awesome. So that's my shout out. So that's it. You want to go home? You want to go?
Let's go country roads. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to the Tango Alpha Lima podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts or watch them. You can watch us on YouTube. Why not look at our pretty, pretty faces? Please leave us a review. Leave us 5 stars. If not, I'm going to go into your house and I'm going to take all your pants. And you're going to be like, where are all my pants? Then you're going to be like, oh, I forgot to leave that review. And that's probably why. Then you leave the review, they magically get sent back. Make sure it's got to be 5 stars. So the world knows how much you love us. If you have a guest recommendation, go to legion.org/Tango Alpha Lima, the American Legion. See that? Tango Alpha Lima. And click on suggest a guest link. I want to know who you want to talk to. Let's talk to them. If you have an aunt that is particularly gregarious, I want to hear from her. Send me Muriel.
Send what? Uriel?
Muriel.
Muriel. All right, Muriel. All right. You heard her. I wouldn't want to cross her. I thought about it once and then I looked and I said, nope, not going down that road. Mm-mm. No, this woman's fighting scorpions in Texas. You don't want any of that. You don't know her. All right. So Alphas, you're out there. You're doing big things. I hope you're having a great birthday month. And I'm going to go ahead and call this one season 4, episode 159, Mission Complete.